We are Sheffield Community Church, where we represent God to the lost and found. This is the podcast of our Sunday service. We hope this message blesses you and leads you to a better life.
Because of your grace, my Lord, this morning, we sing that your grace is amazing. We were lost and now we're found. We were blind, but now we see. And for all this, my Lord, we give you all the glory and all the praise and all the honor belongs to you, because there's no God like you. So Father, we worship you. We give you our praise. We give you our worship. We give you our everything this morning, because nobody else deserves our worship outside you. May your name be lifted up today. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen. Good morning. Whoa, amazing grace takes us to those days when we gave our lives to Christ. If you remember those days when you were on fire for God, those days when you couldn't keep quiet about talking about the goodness of the Lord. Amen. And we're being reminded this morning that the grace of God is still as amazing today as it was then. Amen. So that's so we are challenged, we are encouraged, we are exhorted this morning to reflect on the grace of God and be free and be bold to talk about the grace of God to those that are still lost, to those that are still blind. The gospel is still as powerful. Just to welcome you if you're here for the first time, and all our online viewers, welcome to Sheffield Community Church. We still meet in person at 10:30. If you could join us next week, if you're watching us online and you're around the area, 10:30 we start. You are very much welcome. We're looking forward also to the lifting of restrictions. We will still remain cautious because the virus is not gone. So we pray that we will all be safe. This is a special Sunday. We're baptizing a few people today. So after the service, if you could hang around a bit, we will try mount up cameras so that we are not crowding at the front here. I'm speaking to us this morning from the book of Philippians chapter 3, continuing on our series, Christ, Our All in All. And I want to speak to us from verse 14 through to 16. I'm trying to compress, because there's so much to talk about, but I'm trying to just compress this so that we get a glimpse of this wonderful book, this wonderful letter written by Paul to the church of the Philippians at that time. So I'll read from verse 14 if you are there. Oh, no. Did I say 14? Okay, it should be verse 12. I'm going to start from verse 12. My point is verse 14, but let's start from verse 12. Okay. Not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, let us, as many as are mature, have this in mind, and if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal even this to you. Nevertheless, to the degree that we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us be of the same mind. Verse 20. For our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I want to speak to us today on the topic, Christ, my goal. Christ, my goal. We started from chapter 1, if you remember, when we said, Christ is my all. And we learned in chapter 1 that circumstances can rob us of our joy. We established that the book of Philippians is about joy, and we looked at things that can steal our joy from us, and we realized that circumstances can steal our joy, because Paul was writing from prison. He had every reason to be sad, and yet Saul encourages the folks that are outside that be joyful. And then chapter 2, last week, we learned that people can steal our joy. There are people that can interfere with your life in a way that could disrupt your joy, as it were. And Paul says, look, I'm not going to be disrupted by people. I'm going to look at Christ, the model. Remember, we said we have to be of the same mind as Christ, who considered himself a servant. In fact, he died, he considered himself not equal to God, and chose to die on the cross. We spoke about that. And this week, we are looking at Christ, my goal. Christ, my goal. Now, chapter 3 really is about things that can steal our joy. Someone say things. It's a loaded word. It's got a lot of things, and I'm sure you'll identify yourself on this chapter. Maybe the last two, you're saying, Pastor, I already know that I'm good. But this one, things, covers a lot of ground. There are things that can take our joy away. And Paul takes time to actually include that word, things, in this chapter. So we're going to touch on that. What are these things? Because things in themselves are not bad, you know. They are intangible things. They are also tangible things. And both of them, there's nothing wrong with them, except that if they start taking your joy away, then you've got to be careful. If you start being satisfied by things in your life, then you've got to be careful. So Saul, as we know him, later called Paul, Saul was a determined young student of a very famous rabbi called Gamaliel. He sat under his feet in Jerusalem. His career as a Jewish religious leader was up and coming. He had a bright future in terms of his religious career as a Pharisee. This was Paul. He had a promising career. But one day, on his way to Damascus, he met with Jesus Christ. The amazing grace of God appeared to Saul when he was going to Damascus to cause havoc to the church of God. And God met him there. And it so happens that in chapter 9, Acts, the book of Acts chapter 9, that's where you can find this amazing dramatic story of Saul coming to Christ on that road to Damascus. His life was so radically changed by that encounter with God that Saul woke up a different man because of that encounter with Jesus Christ. His values were so transformed that when Paul, later writing to the church of the Philippians, he says, look, there are things that I want to say to you that are no longer important to me. Some things lost value completely in light of that encounter, in light of Jesus Christ. Everything he thought was important lost value and significance. He compared that to the joy of knowing Christ. The joy of knowing Christ. And he says, look, this is of no value. So in this chapter, Paul examines his own life, and he discovers that he's bankrupt. Stay with me. He discovers that he's bankrupt. And I want to show us through this passage today, what is it that Paul made him reach that conclusion that I'm actually bankrupt? Perhaps this is a good time to reflect and evaluate your life for the things that matter the most to you. And I'm going to help us today. How do I make Christ my goal? Because there's something about Paul that made him think seriously about Christ being his goal, pressing towards Christ, reaching towards Christ. Christ became his goal. How can Christ be your goal this morning? Number one, if Christ is going to be your goal, resolve what things really matter in your life. Resolve this morning what things really matter in your life. Philippians 3, verse 4. We didn't read this, but I'm going to go back to it because I want to make a point. Paul says, if any man, though I also might have confidence in the flesh, if anyone else thinks he may have confidence in the flesh, I more so. And then he goes on to list next verse. I was circumcised on the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, concerning the law, a Pharisee. Let's keep going, sir. Okay. Concerning the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, concerning the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. This is Paul. Paul gives a personal illustration of what we'll call a blessed Jewish man. This is an anatomy of a blessed Jewish man. Paul tells us that he had it all. You talk about his Jewish descent. He talks about his excellent Jewish education. He talks about his standing in society. He talks about his enviable standard of moral purity. Paul says, I have it all. I have it all. If anyone at all has got confidence in the flesh, then my name is going to be there. Because there is no man with an enviable record like mine. This is Paul. This was before the Damascus encounter. And he says, you can't tell me, what more would you want of a man other than this man who has got everything in the bag? Today's language, you say, if you were to look at Paul's CV, you would stop interviewing the rest of the candidates as soon as you finish interviewing Paul. The rest will be told, please go home. Because they've come across a CV that changes everything. This was Saul. So his spiritual CV was as good as it gets. You see, if being religious could get you to heaven, then Paul would be sitting next to Moses and Elijah. If it was just based on the CV. However, for us today, most people subscribe to a religion. I call it do-it-yourself religion. Do you know the do-it-yourself religion? The do-it-yourself religion is one that says, I'm just going to do as little as I can to get by, and in case I might make it to heaven. That is the do-it-yourself religion. And you then define what you do. You go to church whenever it's convenient. You do good whenever you have got the time. You show care to people whenever you can get something out of them. Is someone listening? It's called the do-it-yourself religion. In other words, do the best you can, and then God will take care of your eternity. Paul was in this religion. He did the best that he could with all the advantages he had, and yet he still felt there was something missing. What more could God want? Paul would ask. My background is accounting. I trained in auditing. That's my background. So when Paul is talking about the issue of saying from verse 4 to 6, where he says that I put these things on a scale, and he uses the word that I consider all this rubbish. He says, in order that I may gain Christ. Other versions say, I consider it a loss. The next verse, I think, is verse 7, 8. He says, I consider, there is the language. But what things were, this is accounting language that Paul uses now. This is my background. And I clearly understand there's something we used to do called a profit and loss account. A profit and loss account, stay with me. You don't need to be an accountant, but just stay with me. I'm not going to lose a lot of people right now. But stay with me. I know what I'm talking about. We used to do what is called a profit and loss account. Is you go into a company and say, so where did you get your income from? Okay, you got it from sales, we put a note. You got it from a grant, if you had a charity, we put a note. We go through all your sources of income and put them on one side. And then we ask the next question, so what did you use this money for? And then we put your expenses on the other side. And then when we've done that, we then compare your income and your total expenses. And then we net off. Whatever remains, we call it a loss. Or if your income is more than your expenses, we call it a... Stay with me. You're with me, right? You understand that far, right? Stay with me. You need to understand this because the whole preaching will be missed out if you don't understand this. Because this is what Paul is talking about here. He goes into accounting language. He says, okay, so in terms of Paul's thinking, what Paul does is he says, on my income side, I'm going to put... I'm going to put just two things. Jesus Christ. He puts Jesus Christ on one side. And then on the other side, he says, I'm going to put seven things. You with me? Seven things I'm going to put them. They're going to be seven headings on the other side. And I'm going to go through with you here. He says, first one is the right ritual. In other words, circumcised on the eighth day. And the second one is right race. He says, I'm an Israelite. The third one is right family line. He says, I am from the tribe of Benjamin, right? The fourth one is right religion. I'm a Hebrew of the Hebrews, Judaism. The fifth one is right occupation. I'm a Pharisee. The sixth one is right zeal, that is persecuting the church. And then the seventh one says right morality, which means outwardly keeping the Lord's commandments. So Paul says he does a profit and loss about his life. And he says, Jesus Christ is on one side, and he puts seven things. You probably have got 14 yourself. You don't have to have seven. Maybe you've got 20. Maybe you've got 100. Maybe 99. I don't know. But Paul, a blessed Jewish man at seven. And then he does his maths. He does his accounting. And then what he does is he comes to a conclusion. And his conclusion is, but these things that were a gain to me, you see, the seven items that were a profit to him, because they were on the profit side. He says, these things are now migrating to the loss side. You're not with me today, are you? And he says, I count them lost because of one reason, the entry he had put on the lost side, which was Jesus Christ. And then he reaches a conclusion. Let's keep going. He says, now, he says, of all these things, the last sentence there, he says, I now count them. He changes, our language will be loss. He uses another term for loss. Now he switches from accounting language. He uses a different word which we don't have in accounting. He says, I consider them rubbish. He's now joined the city council, the waste collection team. And he says, I consider them. Now, you need to stay with me here because the word he actually uses for rubbish is not, you see, English is a limited language. The word he uses there is dung, D-U-N-G, dung. Dung means the waste from a cow. And he says, all those seven things that were a profit to me, my heritage, my ethnicity, my education, my pride, all the achievements that I had achieved, worked so hard. He says, when I look at them in comparison to Jesus Christ, I consider them dung. Why? I encountered Jesus Christ. That's why his grace is amazing. Say amen if you're here. says, it's all dung in my eyes compared with the privilege of knowing Christ Jesus, my goal. My goal. Jesus is my goal. And so, when he did his profit and loss, spiritual profit and loss analysis, he realized that he's bankrupt. And yet everybody else in the world thought he's the richest guy on the face of the planet. And here is a guy who's bankrupt on the inside. When heaven looked at Saul, heaven's verdict was that, young man, you are bankrupt. But when the world looked at Saul, they said, young man, you are meant for heaven. The question is, who are you listening to? Whose report are you listening to? Now, I have a question. Why would a man such as Saul describe his own past life like this? Is he not being harsh? Because we live in a politically correct era now where, oh no, you can't do that. You can't say that. Is this kind of a hyperbole? Is he exaggerating? Does he mean it, really? Does he mean that? So does it mean that my degree is a dung? I studied, Pastor. You have no idea. My job is a dung? Now, I... This message is interesting because I left charity accounting. I mean, I left accounting profession in order that I may know Christ. So Paul, I have something in common here. And I can tell you how some people thought that I was the most foolish man on the planet to throw away a career in auditing and accounting, so that I may preach the gospel. How foolish can I be? You know what? When you have an encounter with Jesus Christ, it doesn't matter what everybody says, because Christ is your goal. If the Great One has spoken to you, don't worry about everybody else. Just follow the Great One. Follow the Ancient One. Follow the One that has spoken to you. He will make a way where there seems to be no way. Hallelujah. Think about it for a moment. Paul is casting aside all those benefits, all those advantages. It doesn't matter at all. He says, it's all garbage to me. The only thing that matters to me is that I may know Christ. That is what matters to me. A radical conclusion he reached was, this is all rubbish. Not everybody reaches that conclusion, you know. These are the things I was talking about. The things that can keep you from reaching out to Christ. The things themselves are not wrong, but when you begin to gain pride from the things, then you have stepped on something. Then those things have begun to come between you and God, and you will never be joyful at all. You know, the world has a way of deceiving us. The world can keep you so busy chasing things that don't even make you happy. And when you finally find them, you realize, how come I'm not happy? You're driving your nice car. How come I'm not happy in this car? Then you change, you buy another one, 2021. You get another 2021. You're driving it for a few months. I'm not happy again. Come 2022, you change to 2022. I'm not happy again. There's nothing. Listen to me. I know I'll be misquoted for this message. There is nothing wrong with what? Things. But when you're now worshiping the things, God has a problem. God has a problem. And he has a name for that. He says it's garbage. It now becomes garbage. And yet it's not supposed to be. It's supposed to be used to glorify God. God has blessed you with those things. It's clear. God says, seek ye the kingdom first, and then all these things shall be added to your profit and loss. Added. All right, let's keep moving because our time is gone. Number two, Paul says, let go of past things. In fact, the actual version says, forget what is behind you. Verse 13, he says, brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things that are ahead. Paul says, this one thing that I do, you remember that phrase, one thing that I do. It's a common phrase in Scripture. We found it in various parts of Scripture where it says, one thing thou lack, Jesus talking up to the rich young man. He says, you lack one thing. One thing is needful. Jesus talking to Martha, he says, there is one thing that is needful in your life. One thing I know, that's John 9:25, the blind man saying, you know, one thing I know, I was blind, but now I see. And then finally in Psalms, the psalmist says, one thing have I desired of the Lord, that I will seek after thee, that you are my goal. This one thing. One thing. Too many Christians are involved in too many things. We're chasing many rabbits. Many goals. But if you are chasing Jesus Christ, that's all you need. Because when you get hold of Jesus, you get hold of everything you have ever desired in your life. This thing we're talking about, this gospel we're talking about, is not a philosophy. We're talking about a person. When we're talking about prayer, when we're talking about worship, we're talking about intimacy with a person. It's not a ritual that we just pray in tongues, that we just meet for prayer and just talk. We're talking about intimacy with the living God. That's what it is. It's intimacy with God. If you understand that, you'll treat prayer differently. That prayer is not a shopping list occasion. In fact, serious prayer, you don't even have a prayer request. It's the Holy Spirit that puts things in your heart that you then pray through. Oh, you're not with me here. But that's not what I want. What I wanted you to see is that Paul says, I forget those things which are behind. Says, I forget what things? Things that are behind. Never mind. First we say there are things that we have got to deal with clearly in our minds, that do they matter to me? And then we've got to let go of things that are from your past. Because how many of you know that each and every one of us has got a past? Every single one of us has got a past. So when the Bible says, forget those things that are behind you, the Bible is not saying, delete your memory. That's what the Bible says. In fact, when God says, I will remember your sins no more, he's not saying that, oh, all of a sudden God says, I can't remember what you did. that's not what he's saying. If you're like me, there are things that from your background, you wish you could erase them. You know those photos you don't want to see? Or nobody to see? How can I delete them? So now, for those of you that like posting everything on Facebook, you can't get rid of them. It's a digital print. It's kept until you, in fact, when you die, whatever it happens, they're there. Everything you post. I'm having dinner now. Post. It's a digital print. How can you show everybody your diary anyway? Did you know that? It's a digital print. It's there permanently. Whatever you've posted. Have you ever heard of people that are denied jobs or fired from jobs because of what they posted on social media? And that they posted it 10 years ago. They say, oh, that's how you thought before? You lose the job. You got to be careful. So when God says, forget, when Paul says forget, says in the Bible, when that is used, it simply means that I will not use your past to influence my decision about you today or in the future. It simply means that what you did in the past will not affect my plans for you today. This is God speaking. That's how he uses the word forget. I will not. Human beings are different. Human beings, they actually keep a diary, a dossier of what you have done. That's why before the law, they call you an ex-offender. Why are you called an ex-offender? Because they say, we remember what you did. And we want to tell everybody else that they should know too, that you are ex-something. Everyone notice that? So they don't forget. Our world system is designed to keep a database of what you have done. But in the kingdom of God, God has a system of remembering not what you have done. That's why there is life before Christ that should be completely forgotten for you to enter into what Christ has for you today. You can't live life looking at the rearview mirror. Imagine an athlete, doing a 100-meter race and you keep looking behind you. Either you'll bump onto somebody or you'll hurt yourself badly. And sometimes we live life like that as believers. We keep running, but there are things from the back that are pulling us. Pulling us. We're trying to strain forward, but the things from the back are pulling us. You know, it can be complicated relationships from the past. It could be complicated issues that, Pastor, I don't even know how to explain to you, but I can't get rid of him. We have a history with this gentleman. I know. Try me. I know. The thing is, unless we come to Christ and ask for him to, do you think that Saul, it was easy for him? He used to persecute the church? In fact, at some point when he went to Jerusalem, they could not hang around him because they were scared of him. You remember, Barnabas said to speak for him, to be accepted in Jerusalem, he had a past. But now he writes, says, I forget all that so that I may reach out towards the goal. Because see, when you're forgetting something, you've got to be reaching out to something. If you don't reach out to something, your past will reach to you. There is an opposing force. There's got to be tension of going forward so that you overcome the tension from the past. But the one that's forward must be Christ. That's where the power comes from, to pull you towards Christ. You need the power of the Holy Spirit. Don't allow your past to influence you. Why did Paul tell us to forget the past? Because you cannot keep being held hostage by mistakes you made in the past. Don't allow your past failures to hold you hostage. For some people, it's not even your failures. It's your success that is holding you hostage. You keep remembering, you know, when I used to do this, I passed it. I used to pass this thing. I used to play football, you know. Oh, yeah, really? You are allowing your past to imprison you instead of being free from your past. It's time to move on. Tell your neighbor it's time to move on. Just make sure I don't shout a lot because you've got those masks on. So, stop looking at the view mirror. Let go of those past things. Let go of those past things and move on. You remember Joseph is a good example. Joseph, he had a past. If you remember, his brother sold him off to be a slave in Egypt. And when they came second time around, he was meeting them. You see, because Joseph had overcome his past, he was able to meet them without any pain or anger of what happened 13 years ago. He was able to handle them with grace and kindness because he had dealt with his past with God. You with me? So it's an example in the scripture. He is a man who broke the power of the past. Because as long as you're still grappling with your past, it's very, very, very difficult to reach out to Christ, your goal. It's even difficult to see where you're going when you're being clouded by what's coming from behind you. So reach forward. Reach forward to Christ. Forget about the past. I'm not saying it didn't happen. I'm simply saying don't allow it to control your life. You need Christ to help you do that. There is a way of doing it. There is a system in the kingdom of God. There's a provision, and that provision is the blood of Jesus Christ. It breaks every yoke. The anointing of God breaks every yoke, but the blood of Jesus Christ breaks every attachment, every covenant, everything that attaches you to that which is of the past. You can overcome it in Christ. Here's the third thing, and then we will close. What does Paul say? Paul says, the third thing he says, I do, is I press on towards Christ. I press on towards Christ, my goal. Verse 14, please. Says, this is the second time he's using this word. Says, verse 12, he says, I press. And then verse 14, same word says, I press, but in which direction? Toward the goal. And what is the goal? The goal is Christ. The prize is Christ. The destination is Christ. The target is Christ. It's all about Jesus, folks. It's all about Jesus. Get used to that, because heaven is about Jesus Christ. Might as well get used. Might as well start now. The word press means to pursue after a thing in order to lay hold of it. It also means to, it's got the idea of an intense endeavor. See, have you seen how, because Paul here is thinking about athletics, Olympics, the Greek Olympics. So the terms they use here, he's thinking of the athletes as they are competing. And we know that the athletes, I remember seeing a video clip of a guy who was running, I think it was an 800 meter run, and he came from behind, and when he was coming to the finishing line, because he was a short guy, and there were two tall guys, I think one was from Ethiopia, one was from Kenya, you know what that happens, right? And he was from America, so he devised a very smart way of finishing that the other two guys were not aware of. And one of the things he did is, in fact, the only thing he did, this one thing he did, which I was amazed, what he did is he pressed forward and threw his whole body to the finishing line. I mean, I was amazed at this guy because he was short. So he just threw his whole body. Said, if I die, I die. But I'm winning this thing. I'm pressing in this thing. I'm taking this prize. And so when the computer readings came, he was the first to touch the line. And I think it was just his finger that went through. So when Paul is talking about pressing towards the goal, my friends, he's not talking a lazy walk, oh Lord Jesus, I love you. Is that what he's talking about? The 21st century church, we need God. God needs to help us. God help us. If you know, you know. But we need God. We need God. We're casually strolling to heaven. Looks nice, looks nice. Strolling to heaven like that. When heroes like Paul, they had to chop his head while he's still preaching. Heroes like Peter, they had to turn him upside down. I can't die in the same way like the Lord. So they had to crucify him upside down. Heroes in the faith. But 21st century believers, we just stroll. They have to tell us, hurry, hurry, hurry. There's smoke of fire behind you. That means hell is just close by. And we will just barely cross the line. I hope we won't get the other side smelling smoke from the other side. That's not pressing, is it? But God wants us, Paul says, press toward the goal. Press towards the goal. We got to press, church. It's a pressing issue. We have to press towards Christ. Paul says, I press. And the man writing this, remember, is in his 60s now, in a Roman in a Roman prison in the city of Philippi. And this, he's saying, I'm in prison, but guess what I'm doing? I press on towards Christ. I press on towards the goal. I press on that I may win the prize. In other writings, it says that I may not be disqualified from the race. So I press. Are you pressing where you are? Or it's a casual thing. In the morning, you just wake up to pray. When you see cereal in the morning, Lord, I thank you for the cereal, ribo sakaraba, and then you have your break. It's gone. We're done for the day. We're done for the day. Come what may, Lord. Say example. You know people like that, right? Not you, but you know people like that. Is that pressing into the purposes of God? Mm-mm. You know what? Let me. I'm trying to be nice. In matters of spiritual progress, there is no neutrality. You know, sometimes when you're driving your car, you come onto a flat kind of ground. You don't even put the car on gear when you stop on traffic lights. You just put it on neutral. You notice that it doesn't roll backwards or forwards. It's just okay. Everything is okay. It's just a neutral. You're busy doing your own thing. The car doesn't do anything. Everything is good. Now, in the spirit realm, the gear is always engaged. If you don't, it will engage itself. It's like being on a hill. See, on a hill, you're either going down or you are going up. In the spiritual realm, in the things of the spirit, the things of God, you cannot be stagnant. Because when Jesus is speaking to the Laodicean church, he says to them, you are neither cold or hot. You are lukewarm. And if you are lukewarm, I'm going to spew you out. Why? You are neutral. In the things of God, God, there's no neutral gear. You got to be engaged. That's what pressing on means. If you're not pressing towards God, the devil is pressing you backwards, or pulling you backwards rather. There is no neutral zone in the things of God. Suppose I press on. I press on. I'm 60 years, I press on. I'm 66 years, I press on. I'm 8 years old, I press on. I'm 10 years old, I press on towards the prize, towards the goal, towards Jesus Christ. There is no retirement in the things of God. You don't retire. I'm 55 years, Lord. Pastor, you don't understand. I don't. For sure, I don't. Pray for me. I don't. How can you be on neutral? Are there young people in here? Young. Now, tell me one reason why a young person can't pray 3 hours a day. Tell me one reason. One. But you know that you can be, what do they call it these days? Watching something on Netflix, binge watching. What is it called? You don't want to tell me, I know. That's fine. If you know you, you know. How is it that it's easy to be on Netflix for 3 hours without taking a break? 3 hours. And how is it that when you say, can you come and pray for 1 hour? Oh, no. Oh, no, Pastor. I'm doing something. What are you doing? Are there young people? Anyway, we will meet in our meeting. Let's leave that for now. Let me close. Let me close because I still want to make friends. So Paul says, I want to finish with this. Paul says, you know, the secret to all this thing about your profit and loss, your value system changing, your leaving behind, that the secret to all this thing is what Paul says in verse 20. This struck me because I realized this makes sense now, because before he gets to that verse, Paul talks about we must be of the same mind. He talks about how you've got to think this way. And then he says, he drops this in. He says, for the reason I'm saying what I've just said is because our citizenship is not of this world. It's not of this world. He said, why? In fact, the reason I'm pressing towards God is because I'm eagerly awaiting a savior. I'm not doing this for nothing. I'm not just doing it aimlessly. There's something I'm doing it for. He's coming.
I'm doing it. There is a savior coming, and my citizenship is not of this world. See, why would you accumulate things and be caught up with things when you know that you're going to leave? Because this is not your country. Our citizenship is not of this country. So why would I waste my energy stocking stuff that does not matter where I'm going? Imagine. Imagine, you see, you and I, one day, people will gather for us when we're in a casket. And usually, they give speeches. By the way, those speeches are profit and loss account that they're giving about your life. The only problem is they are rigged. And the rigging is such that speak good things only. Hello? In fact, I know a friend of mine from Ghana. He was telling me that you hire professional mourners for your funeral. You can hire them and pay them to cry and say lovely things so that your profit and loss improves a bit. So, in this earth, you can prop up your profit and loss. But angels are watching. And in heaven, they pull out a scroll. And then there's this one book. Your name better be there. Don't worry about what they say here. But there, your name has to appear there to show that indeed, the way you lived in such a way that your citizenship was reflecting, your life was reflecting your citizenship while you were still on earth. So, how do we live today? Because for those whose citizenship is in heaven, they live their life towards the king. They are wanting to please the king, to align with the king, to align with the principles and protocols of that nation where they come from. It's called the kingdom of God. And so Paul says, do you see now why I was saying to you, I'll help you understand why Paul reached the conclusion. So Paul comes to the conclusion, says, when I look at my life, and then I look at what is he, it is that Christ has got hold of me in my life. And he says, when I look at how I'm living and what I did in the past, he says, when I look at the things that I achieved in my life, you know what? Here is my conclusion. And my conclusion is very simple. In fact, I've just remembered I'm not of this world. That my citizenship is not of this world. Therefore, whatever I have worked for while in the dark, while blind, while lost, everything that I did, do you know what I've called it? I've counted as dung. Why? For this, when I compare it to the joy of knowing Jesus Christ. When I compare, I'm not comparing it to John. I'm not comparing it to Mary on the other side. I'm comparing it to Jesus Christ. Knowing Jesus Christ. Not knowing about Jesus Christ. Not attending church. But I'm talking about having an encounter with Jesus Christ. Amen. When I do that, I realize that I'm bankrupt. I need Jesus. Amen. So where are you this morning? Why don't we pray? Can I give us a few moments to pray? I don't know what your response is. I actually don't know what your response is today. You can stand on your feet and talk to God about your profit and loss today. And say, Lord, in light of what I've heard this morning, in light of the things from my past, in light of things that I've been chasing in my life, in light of what Jesus Christ did for me on the cross, I conclude this morning, I resolve this morning that I shall not be held back by my past. I don't know what your conclusion is, but Paul says, I consider it rubbish that I may know Christ and the power of his resurrection. He says that I may be found in him, verse 10. Verse 9 and 10, he says, that I may be found in him. He says that I may know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship in his suffering. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you and being conformed to his death. Rebo Sakalabo. I'm offline, right? Why don't you talk to God? Can I give you just a minute to talk to God? Come on, let me hear you pray. Let me hear you talk to God. Say, God, I press on this morning. Say, God, I press on to you. I press into you. I press into you. I press into you. In the name of Jesus. Oh my God, I forget that which lies behind me this morning. Let nothing be entangle me and take away my joy. And take away my joy, oh God. But that I may know you. That I may know you, my Lord Jesus. And be found in you this morning. I press in the name of Jesus. 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 I press into you. I press into you. I press towards you. My goal, my Christ, my prize. I press into you, O God. Father, let every lethargy, let every comfort, let every laziness, let every procrastination fall off my life, that I may press into you. In Jesus' name, I pray. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Amen.
If God is transforming your life through this podcast, take courage and visit us in person. We would love to meet you and get to know you more. Thank you for listening. Hope to see you soon.